நண்டுபதம் கண்டு மனம் தென் துண்டு செய்ய வேண்டும் என்றும் அவனோடு துண்டு மனமாகி கண்டு வழி.
Good afternoon. This is your host, Locke Rush, at WNWR 1540 AM. Thanks for joining us. This is The Sufi Path, a program brought to you by the Bawa Muhayyadeen Fellowship of Philadelphia. In one way or another, we all seek peace, and there are as many paths that promise it as there are grains of sand on a beach. The path we will be talking about on this show each week is the Sufi path. We'll be discussing different aspects of Sufism, and we'll be interviewing people that we feel have some wisdom that may help to bring about a better understanding of our lives and how we can find that one point inside which will give us true peace. Sufis have existed as far back as the time of Adam. Sufism is the state one achieves when the I has been annihilated, when love for earth has been cast away, and mind and desire have been eliminated, when the self is forgotten, when God is one's very life and body, and when one's actions, wisdom, and conduct are the same as those of God. Today, joining us in the studio is Sonia Leon Gilbert, one of the presidents of the Bawa Muhayyadeen Fellowship. Sonia, I'm delighted to have you with us today.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask you some general questions, but this is more specifically about the fellowship and what it is, how you came to be involved with it, and kind of an introduction to our listeners so that they will know what these programs are about. So maybe I could start off with a general question of what is the fellowship, the Bawa Muhayyadeen Fellowship?
Well, it is a place for major, major human cooperation and divine teaching. And when I say divine, not because there is a priesthood of any kind. You work as hard as you can and finally become subtle enough to receive really good teaching from everything, but most especially with the intention that that transcendent power is sending messages all the time.
Well, when you came to the fellowship, when was that?
1972, January.
And the fellowship was commenced at what date was the fellowship actually started?
Well, they had, Bawa and the family that came with him arrived, I believe, October 11th of 1971. And there was no real fellowship yet. It was only as we became more aware of the goodness of things and we were willing to pitch in any which way you like it that Bawa saw that here was a kind of community that could be called a fellowship, and then he named us that.
Well, there's several things when you first started speaking. One was the word divine. Could you do a little expansion on that?
In terms
of the world and us.
Yes, a divine is a very, very special understanding and a special kind of word. A lot of people think that many things are sacred and divine, and they will label certain music as sacred and some other things and writings as sacred. But in fact, until there is a great subtlety inside of a human being where he can realize his own soul, he will not fully know the word divine.
And how did Bawa Muhayyadeen fit into this, what you just said?
Well, it's very, very hard to describe to someone else what happens inside of a human being who really has always wanted to know his connection to of that transcendent power that we all call God. It's very hard to describe the willingness, the effort that a person is making. I thought it was going to happen through books. Well, it certainly never happened through books, and I tried very hard to have it happen through books. And I thought it was when you go to visit special places. Well, it wasn't where you go to visit special places. Only a very well-realized human being will bring you that knowledge. And that's who Bala Mahayadin is.
So when you came to Bala, you had been seeking for some time. You hadn't found.
Oh, yes.
And so what transpired?
Well, what transpired was a friend called me and said that they were all now at Bala Mahayadin's, and I should come there because he would fill me, you know. I must not have sounded too happy the day that that telephone conversation took place. And so I said, oh, all right. And I got ready to go to a place in West Philadelphia, which is not where we currently are. And I arrived, and when I got there, I saw, oh, they take their shoes off. All right, I take my shoes off. And I went inside, and the house had nothing to offer in the way of an aesthetic. It was not an aesthetic. It was a rented house. And then I felt the goodness of the people who were there, and I said, well, it's not beautiful, but I certainly feel contented and happy here. And that was at the very, very beginning, before Bala ever came down the steps. And then he came down the steps, and it was like the aspects of E.T., you know, the gleaming, gorgeous eyes and the heart that is pulsating and warm. Those are the two things that I felt in his manifestation. And when he sat down to give a discourse, I knew something inside started to clamor. Oh, he knows. He knows. At last, I had found someone who knew.
And these are things that you had not really experienced before.
No.
Yeah. Would you say that some of the people there had the same feelings as you?
Oh, yes. Of course, each to each, you know. But there was no question about it. A great number of us who arrived in that month or those 3 or 4 months are still there, and it's a long, long time, and it's still a great learning.
Could you describe Bala Mahayadin just briefly, what he was physically like?
Well, I already described that for me, he was visually E.T. But later I found out that everybody else was saying how beautiful he was, and I must say that those eyes for the outside world were not mine. I didn't find that out until much later, and I cannot to this day imagine why it eluded me, but I was on another track altogether. The other thing was the states of consciousness, which he later was teaching us about, they were being employed, they were now being struck by the presence of this man, this tiny man, this absolutely amazing human being. And the things that he said were more than things that went into... I know that I did not intellectualize him at all. They came in on another stream of consciousness as they were intended.
Well, here is this tiny little man radiating these things. You're feeling it. Others around are feeling it. Which kind of leads me into the next part. What was his spoken or his discourse message? What was he saying? Was this something that was new to you? What did he actually speak of? And I guess that means, what is the fellowship all about?
Well, he spoke on many levels, because he would not speak over the heads of anyone that was there. So there was a message for everybody all the time. The discourses were kind of sometimes a little scattered because of that. But in fact, the most glorious discourse that he gave in that time was how things began. And he really, he made you were there. You know, you're there now. That's exactly what happened. And that's the thing that the heart really wants more than anything else, is to know its source. And there it was. The highest understandings were being transmitted. If a person was capable of receiving it, they got it. That doesn't mean that you were instantly transformed. It meant that now you had the work of transformation, and that was different.
Did Bawa give you at that point, and the people around him, things they should do to proceed on the path, so to speak?
Yes, he started out with some very simple things like no intoxicants, no pork. Really didn't like the idea of slaughtering animals in order to feed ourselves. But that was like minimal. That was basic. I think that he was trying very hard to give us the chance to catch on. It was really not one of those do this, do that, do, oh no, that was not it. And there was no flagellation and no kinds of hurtful things was he offering at all to gain this knowledge.
At that point, he then, I understand, he just was talking for anyone who wanted to come and listen.
Oh, yes.
And was laying out some very general things about proper living. In terms of action, meditation, prayer, correct thinking, those kind of things, was that happening at that point?
Not for me. I don't know what it was doing for anybody else. I was just listening with every fiber in my body. That's all I know that I was doing.
So that
and dwelling on what he said. Whenever I left his presence, that message, whatever it was that he said that I got, was being worked on.
I was looking through some of the papers in the fellowship, and I found a description which talked to the fellowship in terms of these questions. Who is man? What is the nature of human existence? What is the birthright of man? And what is his present state? Who is God? What is the relationship between God and man? These are very profound questions. what I hear you saying is that what came from him satisfied the heart.
It satisfied places that you didn't even know you had. The understanding of how many channels we have in our human existence to receive is kind of amazing. And he was hitting them all. But we did not know at that time what was really happening.
Well, now you've been with the fellowship how many years?
Since 1972.
So that's, we're talking coming on 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
In light of what you know and what you've learned, if you could describe briefly what the fellowship is at this point in light of what you've learned, what would you say?
Well, I'd have to speak of it on two levels. On one level, as I described it to the International Association of Sufism, we're a full-service organization. Nobody gets lost. People get sick. They have food delivered to them by people. We cook the food and bring it over. There is nobody who should ever end up poorly without, we don't have a formal charity fund. But sooner or later, somebody else is going to just lift somebody up and take them to the right place. And that's kind of amazing. And it includes, of course, many different departments that we have, audio departments and video department and the mosque, which is really a major, major, wonderful place. It's actually the mosque of choice by the press. So,
well, I think we're going to have to take a break in a few seconds. So why don't we start with that after the break. We're talking with Sonia Leon Gilbert, one of the presidents of the Baal Mahayadin Fellowship, and we were discussing, Sonia, the fellowship today, some of the activities, and maybe we can pick up there.
Well, what I was saying about being a full-service mosque is always tantalizing to people who hear me say it, and of course, you'd have to see the model that I sent to certain people who had asked to understand how full it is. But I have a letter here that came from someone who had been a visitor, and I'd like to read just a section of it. And they said, Brother, I do not find adequate words to thank you and your older brothers and sisters of the fellowship who welcomed me and my elder brothers coming all the way from Pakistan, Kuwait, and Saudi Arabia with outstretched arms, gleaming and smiling faces, and resplendent eyes, though we were all strangers to the brotherhood, meaning the fellowship. I and my brothers felt mesmerized by such unusual and unexpected display of hospitality, love, and affection, voluntarily and unhesitatingly showered upon us by each member of the fellowship, that the impression of which were so profoundly inscribed in our memory that they will never fade away by the passage of time. We sincerely wish that our feelings may kindly be conveyed to each brother and sister of the fellowship we had the good fortune of meeting at the Mazar and at the Fellowship Mosque in Philadelphia. So, I don't know what else you can say or think about after you hear something like that.
Do I gather from what you're saying, from reading that letter, that the fellowship is kind of a melting pot? There are people that come from all over.
Well, Bawa called us his funny family, and he was right. We are everything. We're anything. We have had supreme professionals. We have people who do day's work and other work that is not in the same category as a highly trained professional. We have young and old. We have people of all races. And, you know, if anybody is having any problem, they have to solve it themselves. They're not going to have anybody give them any joy in a misconception about humanity.
Sonia, I'm afraid our time is up for today. Thank you very much for coming in and speaking with us.
Just for a while, live your life and see. Don't give up, don't lose your smile, and then come back to me in the secret garden.